Kevin, we want to get the breakdown on Troy Grosnick. So what can you tell us? What should Oilers fans be expecting from him?
Well, okay, first of all, I think we got to have a word with the guys from Volvo. Because this week especially, as much as I appreciate payments being deferred, I'm not sure wave and waiving payments is the term you want to use around a goaltender right now, because it is a sensitive subject. Getting waived as a goaltender and waivers is, and as Troy Grosnick can tell you right now, it's not a great circumstance, although it's going to work out for him. What I can tell you about Troy is he's a guy whose game has had a lot of structure added to it over the past couple of years. He's always been a high skill guy, good reactive, good mobility, good skater. There's just a little more sort of control and structure. And, you know, part of that has started with his work. And, you know, this is a name that we've talked about over the years many times. Adam Francilia in Kelowna, same trainer that Mike Smith was with for the first time this summer, is a guy that Troy has started working with over, I want to say it's about 4 years ago was the first time I saw him up in Kelowna as part of that Nets 360 group with Lorraine Brossoit and Connor Hellebuck and James Reimer and Devin Dubnyk. And you can really see how the mechanics of his movement and his stance and his setup have all kind of built off of that. And the power and the strength, he's always been quick, but there's just that ability to sort of control it a little more and a little more efficiency in the movement. I haven't watched a ton of his games. Like, full disclosure, Jason, I don't get a ton of opportunity to watch American League games, and that's where he spent most of the last time. But I can tell you, when they signed him in Los Angeles, I had a lot of conversations with Bill Ranford on and off the record about how excited they were and how they thought he was ready. If they needed him, had full confidence that he was ready for an opportunity in the NHL, and that the only reason he hadn't gotten it in the past is because in Nashville, not only did you have Pekka Rinne, but for the past couple of seasons, but you had UC Saros with him, so that anytime it wasn't one, it was the other. And so even when Troy did get called up in those couple of times that one was injured, you know, he never got an opportunity to get into games. So there is a belief from those who have watched him closely, that did the work, that did the video before signing him in Los Angeles, that he's ready for this opportunity, and he's going to, you know, sounds like he's going to get it here or with you guys in Edmonton in terms of, you know, actually getting into games in the NHL. Because it's success in the AHL, and yes, it's the AHL, but he's been really good for the past couple of seasons, I think three of the past four.
You know, you wonder, hey, maybe he's just an AHL goalie. We don't know. You know, you had Jonathan Quick in L.A. for a long time and Jack Campbell there, so, you know, maybe he just can't get up the depth charts. You never truly know. And the thing is, here in Edmonton, like, he's not eligible to play for the Oilers until the 28th. And even then, I'm not sure if that's soon enough, because he'd probably need some practice time, I would think, with a team, or at least, you know, with any other players, because he's going to be in isolation.
28th is based on the 14 day?
No, that's based on, because he can't, like, he drives into Edmonton, right? Then he's got to quarantine for the 7 days. The Oilers are on the road. So he can't go join them on the road, my understanding is. So that's when they get back home.
Yeah.
It's the 28th.
Okay, yeah. So my understanding is it wasn't quite the full 14 days, but that
yes.
He should be able to skate within 7 or 8, because he'll do the quick test in Calgary. Because he's, you know, this is an interesting thing. I made the joke about waivers and not mentioning the word waivers around goalies. Like Troy actually could have been in Edmonton last night.
Mm-hmm.
He hit the road as soon as the waiver wire came in and started the drive, yes, drive, up from California. And was ahead of schedule when he got a call yesterday asking him to hold in Montana, to stay on the American side of the border, just in case the Oilers got Aaron Dell off waivers today. And obviously New Jersey had higher priority and they took him, and so Troy continues his journey here. But I don't think he's going to be, like, it's not, because the Oilers are away, you're right. Doesn't help them in the short term on that trip, he can't join them. But I think he will be able to get on the ice and get his feet under him sooner than that.
Yeah, well, he can get on the ice, but there's really no one to get on the ice with. I guess maybe there'll be a few extra forwards on the taxi squad here, so he'll get something. But he wouldn't get a practice with the team is all I'm saying, because they don't get back until I guess, if they're going to skate on the 27th after being in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Right? So I would assume you're a goalie. You would tell me, are you going to play a guy who hasn't played in the league or really had a practice with an NHL team in 2 weeks? You'd probably have to have him at a few practices before you put him in a game, no?
I guess it probably depends what the rest of my goaltending looks like by that point. You're right.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine. and NHL.com joins us. So, Kevin, would he be? Is Forsberg a better goalie at this stage? Would that be fair to say Forsberg's better? Or are you not too sure?
I honestly, I don't know that that's a fair statement, and I'm not saying it's not either, because again, it's tough, right? Like it's hard enough to keep up with the NHL guys and watch enough tape and watch enough film, and at least at the NHL, I have the benefit of ClearSight Analytics to sort of sort through the noise of shot quality and tell me who's really playing well versus the raw stats and what I'm seeing. They don't cover the AHL. I don't have that data on either of those guys, so I really am kind of flying blind and sort of at the mercy of what other guys tell me, and mostly it's the goalie coaches, and fortunately I have enough relationships there that they, you know, are pretty open and honest. I do know that the Oilers liked Anton Forsberg, and that, you know, things were going well there, and that they liked what they were seeing out of him in terms of the work he was doing and his preparations, and so, you know, that it would be fair to say that that would probably be their first choice. But I think even within that, I don't know that they could honestly tell you whether one's more NHL ready or not. Does Forsberg have a little more experience? Yes, but not a ton of success. At the American Hockey League level, Troy's had success over the past two seasons. So, you know, I think both of those guys are, I would put it this way. I actually think the upside might be higher from a skill set standpoint with Troy than it is for Forsberg. But with Anton, you have a base and a foundation that, you know, I've used this comparison with Michael Hutchison in the past. Like, to me, he was a middle of the net goalie. Like, if you give guys time and space to pick corners and move the puck around and really create dynamic offense, he's not bailing you out, but he's not usually going to beat himself. And that's how I think of Forsberg a little bit. Like, he's not going to take himself out of plays. He's going to play a real consistent, steady, technically sound game. Troy's got a little higher skill level, in my opinion. And what's changed to create his success in the AHL is a little bit more of that technique and structure and foundation underneath that skill level, which is where the consistency comes in. But like, Troy has really high-end skill, and you know, that's something that other goalies who are in the NHL have talked to me about at some of the camps that we've been together with Troy. So, you know, it's like, don't discount him. He hasn't gotten the opportunity, like I said. And I can't make any promises about how this is going to pan out. But the people in Los Angeles, when they signed him to be a number three early in the process this summer, you know, those are names in Bill Ranford that do their homework. And they saw a goalie there that they believed was ready to play in the NHL. And so that's kind of where I form my opinion, is from those conversations with them. And having seen that upside in Troy in more of a goalie school environment, there's a lot of speed and a lot of skill there.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Now, on the road, the Edmonton Oilers are going to have to use an e-bug this time. It's supposed to be a third goalie supposed to be with them, but they don't have one right now because right. Mike Smith's injured and Grosnick's not available. So who will be their emergency backup goalie in Toronto and Winnipeg?
My understanding is, and Elliot Friedman reported on this ahead of anyone on Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. It sounds like they've got a former junior goalie set up and actually in a hotel already in Toronto. So basically they're going to put a goalie in quarantine right now in Toronto and another one in Winnipeg early, like in a hotel, in a quarantine, don't leave, completely locked down. As an e-bug. I'm not sure. I think it'll be a University of Manitoba goalie. I'm not sure which one in Manitoba. I think it could be a kid that actually Dustin Schwartz would have seen at Hockey Canada POE a few years ago. Jordan Cooey out of the London Knights was a name that I heard mentioned as a possibility for that role in Toronto. Now, the difference here is this is in case of emergency break glass e-bug only. This is not a third goalie that's going to help you get through practice. These are not guys that are going to be around the team in that third goalie role like a taxi squad would be. They're going to stay in quarantine. And if everything goes well and everybody stays healthy, they never leave. So it's just, it purely is, we don't have traditional e-bugs this year, somebody in the building every game. Obviously, that's not going to happen. This is just lock somebody away, make sure they're in quarantine and go through all their testing so that if we need a guy on the bench, we at least have an option, and we're not asking Dustin Schwartz to go dig out his pads and put them on, or asking a defenseman to don the gear and get us through the game. So that's my understanding of the situation and how it's going to operate. It's not ideal, and where I think a lot of people miss out on what, like, how this negatively affects not just the goalies but the team is it's in the practice environment, Jason. And you know, I don't know if they've skated since all this in terms of a practice that you've been able to attend, but you know, like, you literally have to treat the two guys that are left, because of how long you have to, like you said, the 28th, you have to get through with only those two guys. Like, it's eggshells. It's glass. It's do not shoot high, guys. We can't have you taking out, like the Islanders did in warm-ups, Cal Clutterbuck knocking Semyon Varlamov out with a shot off the collarbone. Yeah. It is short practices and shooter tutors. It is guys not firing 100% in practice. Like, this is not ideal for anyone. It's not just the goalies and getting them rest. This is not ideal for anyone. I don't even know that they'll be able, and I've had this situation with other teams, and the goalie coach, you know, I haven't talked to Schwartz at all, but I know when other teams have gotten into this situation where, you know, obviously it's not the same in terms of pandemic and not being able to have anyone come in, but where they're just short on the depth chart, like they don't have any other options. Remember the year Vegas went through five? Like, you literally can't even work out a prospect goalie as a backup, like, say, Skinner. You can't even put him through the grind like you normally would. You can't even push hard in terms of his preparation, because your primary goal is to just get him through healthy. You can't have him step on a puck and warm up. You can't have him pull a groin on a backdoor pass in a power play drill. Like, you just can't have it. And it actually becomes a negative for everyone, not just the goaltenders.
Kevin Woodley on InGoal Magazine, from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com, joins us. So basically, they've got a goaltender in Toronto, a goaltender in Winnipeg, quarantining, isolating in hotels. And if one of Koskinen or Skinner get banged up, well, then they will call upon them. It's not like they get to use them in practice. They're just there in case of an emergency.
Exactly.
For a game. So
yep.
It's
interesting. That's my understanding.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. So now, looking at this, like, we know that the Devils claim Dell today. Now, maybe they'll put Eric Comrie on waivers. Now, he still hasn't been officially come off their list yet because he was quarantined anyway, so I don't know what happens there. The Jets could reclaim him if no one else put an offer in, and then they could waive Forsberg. Then the Oilers could claim Forsberg if no one put him on, and then they would waive Grosnick, and then the Kings could get him if no one else put a claim in. So it would be quite the merry-go-round of goaltender. Did you see any way they could have got around this?
First of all, blame Carolina, because outside of Arendelle,
yeah,
was
jerks,
always
going to
be
jerks.
The primary target. Yeah. Jersey losing Corey Crawford and him walking away was something nobody could have foreseen. And so there was going to be a shortage in New Jersey, and they were going to pick a guy. And Dell was always going to be the first target, right? I mean, you didn't need to be a goalie expert to know that. Where things really went off the rails was when Carolina claimed Forsberg, and they didn't actually want him, as we saw. They just assumed they were going to lose Alex Nedeljkovic, who they then put on waivers the next day. And when Nedeljkovic cleared, they didn't need their backup plan. Like, that's what Forsberg was. He was, if we lose this guy, we need somebody else, so let's grab the somebody else first before we take a chance on losing this guy, rather than waive Nedeljkovic and then try and find an answer. But that set off that whole chain that you're talking about now. And you made a great point about Comrie, because when I suggested, you know, we talk about the show before, we believe it or not, we actually do planning. You know, I sent that note about Comrie, and you said he's got a clear Canadian quarantine, so the Jets might not want him back, and it was a great point. But now that Grosnick is going to stay in Edmonton because the Oilers didn't get Dell, that means I could actually see the Kings for sure having an interest in Eric Comrie, because they've got a hole, because they just have really young prospects behind Quick and Pedersen, or Cal Peterson. It's just Matthew Vallalta and Jacob Ingram are their only goalies, or Ingram are their only two goalies. So it's just, you know, like, rookie pro type environment. You want somebody with a little more experience. I could absolutely see them grabbing Comrie as well. To answer your question, I think they could have had, and I know there were parties that pushed for it, they could have found a way to make at least the goaltender to the waiver, to the taxi squad, somehow waivers exempt. Now, maybe goalies wouldn't have wanted that. Yes. Because for Troy Grosnick, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
But the way some of these guys are getting bounced around, again, he's going to approach it the right way. If you guys get a chance to know Troy, you're going to love this guy. And so maybe, again, my comments are all biased because I have had a chance to get to know him. And he's just, he is going to fit no problem. He has a great personality. He's also got he's got a young baby at home. They had a baby right out of the Edmonton bubble with Nashville. Like, he just got home and they had the baby a couple days later. So this isn't easy on young guys with families to bounce around like this and be asked to stop in Montana and spend the night there before they cross the border to wait to see if another goalie gets claimed and they're turning right around. I think they could have found, maybe the key here is one-way contracts, Jason. If the goalie was on a one-way, so it didn't matter whether he was on the taxi squad or the NHL, he was getting the same money, maybe they could have been exempt. So a Grosnick who's on a two-way would have required waivers, but guys like Forsberg and Comrie would have been able to go straight down. I guess that wouldn't have helped the Devils, because Dell would have been exempt too, so maybe that doesn't solve their problem. But it sure feels like we could have found a way to do this without having to upend, four or five different goalies right now and upend their lives and, stuck in quarantines. And by the time a lot of these guys get back on the ice, it'll be, especially if Comrie were to get claimed and go back up to Winnipeg, he'd be like 3 weeks to a month without playing. And for the second straight season, he just bounced around everywhere because of waivers.
Kevin, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, and by next Monday, we'll see if Grosnick's still with the Oilers and if they've made anything else. I think that's probably what's going to be the case, because I don't see any other goalies right away other than Comrie, maybe. But that wouldn't help them. That would just put them farther behind. So by then, Grosnick would actually be closer to helping you. So we'll see how that goes. As always, great to catch up with you, man. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Hey, and just really quickly for your listeners, if you want to get to know Troy a little more, we had like a half an hour with him on the In Goal Radio podcast. Yeah, back in late October, I think it's episode 89, if anybody wants to look it up, if you want to know your new Oilers goaltender. And I think I tweeted it out too. There's a pretty good in-depth interview. You get an understanding of who he is and what he's all about. And he talked about some of the changes he's made over the past couple of years to improve.
Awesome stuff, Kev. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Jason.